Welcome to the PodTech.net Juniper Networks Master of IT podcast with another Master of IT here, Ron Danielson. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John. It's wonderful to be here.
You're the CIO for Santa Clara University, the Vice Provost, and also Associate Professor of Computer Engineering here at the university.
Right. Long title.
Long title. A lot of activities. You're teaching, you're involved with young people, as well as administrating a large network here at Santa Clara University. You're a Master of IT. How did you get that title from Juniper, and what did you overcome, and what happened?
Well, the story actually started with our upgrade of our PeopleSoft administrative systems from 7.5 to 8.0. We had gone through a six-month process planning for this. Everything went in on time, on schedule, under budget, was working out marvelously. We turned it on, and our hardware infrastructure was significantly undersized for the demand that was placed on it. And so while the software all ran, it ran so slowly nobody could use it. We tried to address that problem by throwing hardware at it, so we increased the number of web servers we had, we increased the number of app servers we had. Over time, we finally got it to where it was running at a tolerable level, but it still wasn't really as robust as we wanted it to. And that's when we turned to the Juniper solution as an opportunity to see whether offloading some of the work from the front end to our administrative system would actually improve performance. So we put in a Juniper box that sat in front of our PeopleSoft web servers and took care of session handling and SSL, did compression. And we saw an almost instantaneous improvement in performance for our end users.
So basically had a big, huge rollout, both on the app side, and you beefed up with some hardware.
Right.
And voila, huge demand. Applications were sucking more of the computing power, resources. And, you know, the standard question is just throw more hardware at it.
Well, that's
that's the immediate answer.
Response,
add
right.
More boxes. But that didn't really do much.
Well,
it does.
You can't scale it that well. And so, in fact, we tried that and were partially successful, but it didn't seem like the kind of long-term solution that we wanted to get into. And, in fact, when we put this appliance in place, it truly did provide us with a long-term solution that we're still using today in essentially the same environment. So we have the same number of web servers and the same number of app servers as we finally ended up with. But now we're putting so much traffic through there that we've had to upgrade the database server behind it to simply handle the volume. And we're still dealing well on the front end with compression and SSL handling and all of that sort of stuff.
Now, you obviously teach computer engineering, but isn't this like acting like an operating system? I mean, you have multiple subsystems, in essence, dedicated machines. And you really have to architect it.
Oh, architecture is a critical component of the whole thing. And it's also a very complex environment in terms of the number of pieces that you're playing with. It used to be you had a mainframe, and everything went into the mainframe, and you only had to work with one environment. Now you're working, in this case, with three different levels, with three different sets of software, with two different operating systems, and the communication between them. Not to mention the communication over the wider network and off campus to the people who are making use of this system. So it's a tremendously complex environment.
As they say, a lot of theaters going on at the same time. You got, you know, remote users, obviously with SSL, but you have application kind of policy type stuff, session, you know,
right.
Application acceleration, those kind of things. How did you attack this when you looked at this and realized that you needed to look at the architecture and put the Juniper box in there? And how did you approach it, and what can you share with folks out there that are going through the same thing?
Well, it was actually quite easy to put the Juniper box in place. There was some insecurity on the part of my administrative computing people about what would happen if the device actually failed and what that would mean for clients. And so we architected it in a way in which the Juniper appliance and all of our web servers are all connected to a load balancing switch in front of them. And the load balancing switch has the assignment of sending all the traffic to the Juniper device if it's alive. And if the Juniper device fails, then it ships stuff off to the other web servers. So we've got a failback capability, which, by the way, we've never had to invoke. But it makes everybody feel comfortable.
It's a safety net.
It exactly is.
A little job security, too.
Minimizing single points of failure to the extent that you can is a very, very important thing.
What's kind of the state of the union here, and kind of where is it going?
Well, it's actually quite interesting. we have a commitment to move as much as we can towards a web environment for access to everything. So the PeopleSoft 8 environment was really our first web-based administrative environment. Now, not only transaction processing goes through a web interface, but also all of the self-service access that we have goes through the web interface. We have a portal that allows students, faculty, and staff to do a number of self-service applications against the administrative environment, as well as access other resources on campus. We have a number of people using a web interface to our GroupWise email environment, and we put another Juniper box in front of that, where it's giving us equal levels of performance improvement. We're seeing 70%, 50% to 70% compression on data traffic going through those two environments, which really saves us some bandwidth, particularly off campus on our internet connection. We've actually moved this out as well. We put in recently a pair of appliances to do spam tracking and hopefully catching at the front end of our email environment. And we've got another Juniper device in front of that. They're really very, very handy devices to deploy. We find that they're very easy to work with. My network staff tells me that they'd rather deal with certificates on the Juniper appliance than they would on the native boxes that they have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of versatility. Other masters of IT talk about versatility. And deployments are interesting, too. There's a lot of diversity in network types. Have you had any experience rolling these things out on an SSL VPN basis?
We're not a very heavy SSL VPN shop. We're not a very heavy VPN shop. But in fact, we expect to be getting into that environment more in the future as we have people who want to work from home, as we are very worried about what's going on. And the SSL VPN seems like a very attractive solution to us.
Yeah, so you have students come in, how are they authenticating into the environment?
Students simply come in and authenticate against what we call eCampus, our PeopleSoft portal environment. They enter their Novell IDs and passwords, and that then goes through and brings them into either the administrative environment or our email environment.
So they come in through the web interface?
Right.
What are some of the challenges you see kind of going forward? Obviously, you know, security is a big thing, and we were just at the RSA conference this morning, and you know, everyone's talking about all the security initiatives. It's not going to go away, but how is that evolving in this campus and student environment with in terms of viruses and just vulnerabilities, and how are you looking at that?
It's always a challenge in a student environment, and it's a challenge for us as a quarter system probably 3 or 4 times a year, because every time the students come back on campus, they seem to bring some stuff with them. We're fighting that in a number of ways. One, as I mentioned, is the gateways that quarantine both spam and virus emails on the way in. We make free antivirus software available to our students. We require when they come back onto campus after term breaks to register their systems, where we get a chance to scan them to make sure they've got virus protection in place and that their operating system patches are up to date. And then we're using the network to quality of service capabilities to limit the amount of bandwidth that one user can try to force onto the network.
Yeah, Paul Kim at Stanford, another master of IT, we're talking. You know, students are very exploratory, if you will. How can I say that? They're always trying new things. You know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there. You know, everything from, you know, music sharing to hacking. I mean, it's always, you know, they're out there. I mean, how are you handling that?
Well, it always
not
is
that all
a challenge.
Students are hacking or anything, but you know not, how they
but,
are.
But they just they stretch the envelope, and that's one of the interesting things about a university environment. Even though it may not be as large, it is perhaps more diverse than most corporate environments. We have a much wider variety of systems that we have to deal with. We have a population that tends to stray into areas you perhaps would not want them to visit if you had complete control over the system. We have this entire population called faculty who think it's their right to put whatever they want on their computers and it ought to run perfectly on our networks. So we're trying to deal with that through education. We're trying to deal with that by staying active. We're trying to deal with that by looking for innovative solutions, perhaps early in the life cycle. So when we first put these appliances in our PeopleSoft administrative environment, that was very early in the availability of these sorts of things. And we were in a position to be able to take a chance and see if it could fix our problems. We continue to look for that sort of stuff at any place we can within our networked environment.
Well, it's a real honor to be a master of IT. Looking out 10 years from now, what's going to be different? You'll be provost. you'll be 10 years older. We know that. In the computing environment, what's going to be different for those people coming in 10 years from now?
Who can look 10 years out? if you look back 10 years, the World Wide Web was barely getting started. We had just started the browser explosion. And look at what's changed since then. I think we're going to see mobility being a commonplace sort of thing that we are not even remotely prepared to deal with now. People now expect access sort of anytime, anywhere from a wired connection. Now they're going to be expecting access anytime, anywhere, everywhere, because they're going to have devices that carry them around. There are going to be implications for how we format material that we make available to people. There are going to be huge implications about security, not just how those devices access our systems, but what we do with data that they might download onto these easily lost devices and how we deal with that. I think it's going to be a really, really interesting time, but if I knew what was going to happen 10 years from now, I'd be a consultant.
You'd be raking it in. Now, a lot of people are trying to figure that out in their crystal ball, but, you know, it's going to be different. And, you know, it's good to be kind of at the leading edge. You're doing great work here. Congratulations. Thanks for the podcast.
Thank you. It's been lots of fun.